It's always a blessing when we have on a first Sunday of the month, we have a baptism, so we have both ordinances in the same day, and that really hasn't, it's happened before. Put it that way. We've enjoyed that blessing here at the church, and it's always, to me, it's just it's an encouragement. I'm not sick, so don't be terrified. I know I'm breaking the bread down here and then, but this is allergy stuff here, so don't get alarmed. This morning, Sarah asked, as everyone else was gone, and she asked if she was able to take the Lord's Supper tonight. And it's like, yes, absolutely. You know, that's the exciting part, really, of being joined to the body of believers. Baptism precedes the joining, but yes, the Lord's Supper is kind of a pinnacle. To me, as I, you know, maybe I'm off base, but it's the pinnacle blessing of church membership. It's sort of the apex, which is one of the significant reasons for membership. It's you know, as you partake of those elements together, you're joined together with that one body whom you committed yourself to serve the Lord with, and are and held in accountability toward and with, and so forth. So it's we rejoice in adding Sarah to the number tonight. Justified forever. You know, I'm thinking this is just going to clear out, but y'all forgive me if I... You know, when I need it, it's not there. No, he's going to get some. That's good. I took it this morning because I was thinking if I left it there, they might not see it when they move the pulpit. And we had a mess up here, but water can cause a mess. Thankfully, John was more diligent than I was. You didn't cause a mess last night. So. The last time we had a baptism, I caused a mess in this place. Y'all don't know about that. Confession's good for the soul, right? This thing was flooded. This place was flooded. And that all happened. Y'all didn't even know it, right? I didn't hear that. But we're going to get a plumber on it so we won't have that happen again. All right. Justified forever. You ever heard it put quite like that? Justified forever. This came to my mind this last week when a question was asked by someone. If we are justified by what took place at Calvary, why is it necessary that Jesus intercedes for us now? And I've kind of been mulling that question over. And so I thought maybe we would take a stab at it this evening. I'm not going to get, hopefully, this is devotional. But I also am concerned about this, that you understand what justification means. It is a central doctrine of biblical Christianity. And it does directly relate to what we're thinking about this evening, what we're pondering this evening. It is the teaching that answers the question of how a sinful, guilty person can be acquitted in the courtroom of God. How a sinful, guilty person can stand before holy, holy, holy and actually hear the words, "You're free. No condemnation." Acquitted. Took this message to Dominguez prison, 56 men. Not this message, but another on justification. And last week, and I asked them, how many of you, I said, before you raise your hand, understand that I might ask you. So, don't raise your hand unless you really know. That kind of changes the hand raising, doesn't it? And so that might not, there might have been more who might have known a little bit more than they thought, that they were a little nervous to raise their hands. But that's the way I asked it, just to be fair, in reporting what I'm reporting to you. And I said, how many of you could give me a definition of the word justification? And out of 56 men in a faith-based dorm, okay, y'all know what that means, right? Faith-based, these guys say they have a faith. Out of 56, I saw four hands raised in a faith-based dorm who are taught every single day. Somebody comes in and opens the Scriptures to them every single day. And when I saw that, it's kind of like, wow, okay, that tells me what I'm dealing with here. Well, then I got to thinking about it. What if I were to do the same here? How many hands, don't raise your hands, but you know, how many hands would go up? That you could actually, knowing that I might call on you, you could actually, and you know, not I'm afraid to talk in public and all that, but I mean, you know, you actually know in your mind, you could give a reasonable biblical explanation of what the doctrine of justification is. Problem with a lot of churches today that use more modernized translations, they don't even have the word in the book. It's not even there. They translate it something else, which is a crying shame. Justification is very simply a guilty sinner being told that his guilt is removed and he does not stand condemned by God. That's a real simple, straightforward definition. A lot of thoughts are connected with justification, but that's boiling it down. I am free in God's courtroom. I am not condemned in God's courtroom. Two things are necessary for this declaration to be made toward the sinner. If I were to stop here and say, okay, there's two things that are needed. Tell me what those are. I'm not sure what answers you'd give me. I'm saying there are two. If we really dissected this thing, we may come up with, different parts to this thing. But I'm trying to narrow it down and, boil the talk down and get to the heart of the issue. Two things are necessary for this declaration. Justification is a declaration. It's the judge declaring you free. Two things. One, an acceptable payment has to be made for the just judge to justly pardon you, for you to be acquitted. The judge can't just say, you're free. Your guilt has to be dealt with. So an acceptable payment must be made. And the second thing is faith. To enable the sinner to believe in the one making the payment. You've got to be joined to the one making the payment. Listen to these scriptures. Romans 3, verses 24 through 26. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. There's the acceptable payment. May. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. There it is, the acceptable payment. through faith in His blood. There's faith. To declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness that He might be just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. If you're not believing in Jesus according to the Scripture, you're not justified. A payment made. Faith given so that you might believe. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Acceptable payment. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith. Enabling the sinner to believe in the one making the payment. Justified by faith. Justification is totally dependent upon the righteousness of God without the works of the law. Now you've heard that 1,000 times if you've heard it once around this place, right? It is interesting, though, how we can either, I don't know how you call it, subtly move away and experience, I think, what Paul is talking about to the Galatian saints of falling away from grace, falling from grace. Of course, we know that God's grace never lets His own go. We understand that. But you can your experience, you can fall from that sense of His grace, leaning more upon your own works. Listen, you shouldn't lean at all upon your own works. Romans 3:28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Are you understand? This is I want you to be able to leave tonight. Everyone, I know some of you seasoned theologians, and this is simple level doctrine for you. But some of you aren't. All of us need to leave tonight understanding this. Furthermore, I mean, my degree is in theology. That's the degree that I have. And I love to hear this. I love to talk about this. It's in one sense elementary, and yet it's everything. You know? I think it's something of what Paul meant when he said that he's determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what we're doing here tonight. This is elementary. But it's everything. There really is good reason that you read repeatedly in Scripture, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you notice you read that? It's over and over, you find it in Scripture. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because He is the righteousness of God. Romans 10 and verse 4. The end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. You say, so you're telling me if I don't believe in Jesus that I don't have a righteousness before God? No, I'm not telling you that. God's telling you that. Well, that doesn't seem right. Well, maybe you'll have an opportunity to state your case before Him in the day of judgment. I doubt you'll open your mouth. Imagine that every mouth will then be stopped. And you will know your guilt. Don't you think? If you trust in your own attempts to provide righteousness before God, you will be condemned under the guilt of your sin. This is We're talking about justification here. You must never view your own efforts to do good as in any way providing an acceptable argument for your acceptance in God's heaven. Never. Nothing. If we could provide our own righteousness, any of it, we're not talking about, you know, God does His part, now you've got to do your part, when it all comes together, it'll be an acceptable righteousness. No. You'll just stain it all up. If we could provide any of our own righteousness, then surely Paul would not have argued so strongly against presenting his own righteousness by the law, as we heard this morning in Philippians 3, and for the righteousness which is of God by faith, Philippians 3, verse 9. All of that to say these few things. The fact is, we will never get to the point in which we are not dependent upon Christ for justification. For our justification. Never. Never. And I think if we have to have an explanation, which I never have had to have an explanation, but if we have to have an explanation as to why Jesus is where He is now interceding for us, maybe this would be the explanation. We will always and forever be dependent upon Him for our justification. It's true, we look back. We look back to the death of Christ for our justification. We're doing that tonight. Romans 5 and verse 8. God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by His blood. We look back. We shall be saved from wrath through Him. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. There's what we need, that declaration of justification requires the forgiveness of sins. And we have it. Through His blood, according to the riches of His grace. In chapter 2, verse 13 of Ephesians, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So as we receive these elements tonight, we are called upon to remember the death of Christ. We are thinking back. We are remembering His blood. It's right. We should. We must. It's critical. He gave His life a ransom for us. But we don't look back to a dead Christ. We look to the living Christ for our justification. To the living Christ. Remember Romans chapter 4? One of these verses that creates some discussion, but speaking of Christ, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. His resurrection has something to do with our justification. Chapter 8 of Romans and verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. That's what's going on right now. He died. He rose again. He's interceding. Our justification depends upon His intercession now. He was raised again for our justification. We are not condemned now because He died. But not only did He die, He rose. And not only did He rise, He's interceding for us. And His intercession is on the basis of what He has done. It is finished. The work is done. And He intercedes on the basis of that. Hebrews chapter 7. Wherefore, He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever lives to make intercession for them. I mean, think about it right now. Right now. I know we're thinking back to the death of Christ and we're pondering the passion of Christ, to the sufferings of Christ and what He has done. But brethren, we're also called upon to look upon Him who is living. He is living. He's interceding for us. Right? Our justification depends upon His intercession for us right now. Is this perhaps why we find these verses in 1 John 2? My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. The righteous one. You know, justification requires that there be a righteousness. He is our righteousness. He is the advocate with the Father, the righteous one. Listen, we will never get beyond our dependence upon Jesus Christ for justification. You see, that this is important to keep in mind because there is a large body of quote-unquote Christians, or a Christian church as they would call themselves, Roman Catholic Church. And they're not alone in this, who say that Jesus Christ is necessary for justification, but not only Jesus Christ. You must establish your own righteousness too, so that you can really never know until the end whether or not you're justified, until the works are weighed in the balance to see if you won. See if you did enough. That's a pretty common thought amongst religious folks, isn't it? But the doctrine of Scripture is we are completely dependent upon Jesus Christ. He is and ever will be the only reason we are found faultless before the presence of God's glory. Alone. Now, I think this is helpful. So rather than being a quandary about this question, well, you know, if He died and we're justified, you know, why is it necessary that He intercede for us? It's necessary because it is now and always will be Him. He is the one that we will ever be dependent upon for our justification. And so as we partake together tonight, we're remembering the death of Him who lives to make intercession for us. We have the righteous one in the courtroom of God's justice representing us now and forever. May that encourage your hearts tonight. You know, we look at ourselves and we're not worthy. And so we need to see Jesus. And isn't that one of the reasons we come to this table? He died. He rose. He's interceding. I partake of this bread and I partake of this trusting only in Jesus Christ for my righteousness. I'm justified because of Him. I hope that you're encouraged to think these thoughts tonight as you join together to partake of these elements. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the liberty of our spirit that is worked by your Spirit, leading us to see Christ, magnifying Him, allowing us to find rest in Him, enabling within the deepest recesses of our being to have a calm, a quietness that answers every doubt, every question, every fear. Tonight as we have come together as a body of believers, we join together to remember you, Lord Jesus, to worship, to adore you, find rest in you. Because of you, we have hope. Because of you, we live with confidence. Bless us tonight. Help us. Aid us, Holy Spirit, in our contemplation, in our remembrance. For your glory, O Jesus, we pray these things to be so.